some good singing. Did anybody notice I was singing my part? I was singing my part. My part was singing. I was singing. Now, Mr. Ramos was singing his part. I think he should do some solos, because he was like, I'm like looking over there and hear him. I was like, wow, now that's some singing. That's some real singing, man. I'll tell you, like, Ray Hart, right there. Ray Hart, step out of the way. Mr. Ramos, get up here and sing. That was good. I know everybody's, well, are you guys tired? Okay, you're not? You are? What are you high school boys tired about? What'd you eat too much? What'd you do? What'd you guys are saying? Yeah, I'm tired, Mr. Wright. I'm tired. Yeah, sure. Sure you are. But I do know we're tired. We are just fatigued, ready to go to sleep. So what I want to do before I start, since everybody just, you know, go to sleep for about 5 minutes and take a nap, and maybe you'll look better when you wake up. Isaiah chapter number 6. It was a good day yesterday. We were at the skating rink all day. We had a good service. Good time of skating. Great time of going home. Great time. I'll tell you what. Great time getting those kids off the skating floor and just getting them back. It was wonderful. It's wonderful. But it was good to be a part of a good service yesterday. It was good to be a part. Isaiah chapter number 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am a man, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Today I want to preach a simple sermon of Here Am I. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. God, we pray now as we look into it, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray, God, that you be honored and glorified with what takes place. In Jesus' name, amen. I know this is a familiar story to all of us in here. I know you know this passage of Scripture very well. But I'm amazed every time I read it, and it's probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I'm amazed at this thought of what Isaiah got to see. I'm amazed at what he got to see, and as he was there, seeing Almighty God high and lifted up. Hearing the angels say, Holy, holy, holy. Seeing his response when he bows his head and says, I am no good. I am no good. And then he hears a voice. And it says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And it seems to me that Isaiah had no other recourse after what he's seen, after getting right. It seems like he had no other recourse but to say this, Here am I. I believe there's a whole lot of parents back home praying for some kids in this room today. A whole lot of good parents that are praying for some kids in here that when God calls, I believe there's some parents that are praying that you would respond like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. We saw that those pictures last night, and we're not going to lift anybody up, but we saw those pictures last night in the gymnasium, the slide presentation of the family. And what a great testimony. No matter how you look at it, whatever you want to say, it was a great testimony. And you know what most parents were saying? You know what most good parents were saying when they were looking at those slides? That's what I want. That's what I want. I want some kids that'll say, Lord, here am I. No, they're not very much of anything. But they got to a place in their lives where they said, Lord, here am I. And you know what we need today some more of? Some people, some kids that have put themselves in a position that when God calls, the response can only be, Lord, here am I. The only thing you can say is, Lord, here I'm right here, Lord. But we know we're living in a day where most people don't want that. And I know there's a lot of excuses. I know there's a lot of reasons. But do you know there's some people that just don't want to be used of God? Shame on you if that's you. But there's some that just don't want to be used of God. I just don't want any part of it. I have to be here. And as soon as I run this course, trust me. I've had workers like this. I've seen college kids like this. Trust me. Amtrak is coming right in front of the dorm. I paid the engineer. He's going to stop in front of the dorm. I know where that spot is that you can get between the fence. I can squeeze through there too. And I'm getting out of here. I'm getting on the first thing out of here. Shame on you. Shame on you. But we ought to want to be in a place where God's working. Boy, yesterday was hard. Yesterday was hard. That little girl, her cousins put her shoes away. She couldn't find them. And you would have thought, in the midst of all of this, here's this little girl screaming,
Mr. John, I can't find my shoes. I can't find my shoes.
You can't? I'm sure we will. Take her away. Now? And she went away screaming. They found her shoes, of course. But it was hard yesterday. Man, I'll tell you what, it was a lot of work. But thank God some people said, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. Send me. Just a couple testimonies you just said, people getting saved. Don't you want to be a part of that? There's some that won't. Today I'm going to look at some things that I can't do in order to be used of God, and some things I must do. First of all, some things that I can't do. One thing you can't do is be critical. A man came up to D.L. Moody after he was preaching in London, and the man said, Mr. Moody, can I talk to you? Yes? He said, Mr. Moody, your English was very, very bad. You made a lot of grammatical errors. I know you're saying that about me, right? I just think you guys are looking at me. Mr. Wright, okay, all right. You made a lot of mistakes. Mr. Moody looked at him and said, sir, I'm using all of my English for Jesus. What are you doing with yours? We can find anything to be critical about. Man, we can find anything. Young man, if you're dating a girl that's critical, run. Young lady, if you're dating a man that's critical, run. Run. You don't need that type of spirit to be around you. You need a type of person, and we all ought to be the type of people that say, Lord, what can I do? But everybody wants to point. Everybody wants to point. Now, be honest. How many of you can find something wrong with the person sitting next to you? Raise your hand. Okay. What about the person across from you? How many can find something wrong? Okay, it doesn't matter, anywhere, that's the point. Some are like, which way does he mean? Which way does he mean? But how many of us are like Isaiah, go to the mirror after we've been with Jesus and say, that's the problem. We can look around and we can point everywhere. We can point at everything. But sometimes we just have a hard time pointing at ourselves because we're critical. You know what critical spirit makes you do? It makes you run. I don't want to be a part of that. A critical spirit makes you run. Makes you run. They need help where? Okay, over there. Okay, see. They need help where? Over there. I got to study. You haven't studied for years, but now you got to study. A critical spirit. Don't be critical. Don't be critical. You can't be lazy. You want to hear God call you? Don't be lazy. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 22. This is talking about being a part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I'm just not worth anything. I can't help. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Jump in and be a part of it. He says, that part of the body that seems most feeble, like it's not even useful. Paul said it's necessary. You know, your work is necessary. It doesn't matter what we say or what we think. God looks down out of heaven and God wants to see you busy and not lazy. You can't be rebellious. You can't be rebellious. Rebellion, we all know, is as a sin of witchcraft. I guess I'll do it. I guess. You know what that is? That's a rebellious spirit. The Bible says it stinks. And if you have that spirit, get it right. Number three, worldliness. Or four, excuse me, worldliness. We took out cotton candy for one of the days. What day was it? Fair day. We took out cotton candy for fair day. We got those bags, man, at the beginning of the day. Look at this. This is what you get. Kissing. I want that. 3 o'clock. You want me to get the cotton candy? No, I'll leave it in the car. Leave it in the car. You know, it's about, you know, about this size. Just leave it in the car. At the beginning, it looked so good, didn't it? It looked so good. Those kids looked at that cotton candy and said, I'm coming. At the end of the day, we'll just tell them. You know, that's what worldliness is. The world looks good. Just like that cotton candy. Grab a hold of it and see how long it lasts. You grab a hold of that music and see how long it lasts. You grab a hold of that computer and see how long it lasts. Get a hold of those videos and see how long it lasts. Go ahead, grab it. See how, oh, it looks real good, don't it? And the slick devil is just laughing the whole time. Because you saw a bag of cotton candy. And all of us, I shouldn't say all, but most of us, that big bag of cotton candy, we would say, that doesn't really appeal to me. That doesn't really appeal to me. But the devil knows exactly how to get to you. I was preaching yesterday at the rink about Adam and Eve. I was talking about Eve and how she was deceived. And I'm amazed at the deception of Satan. You know, Satan had nothing to compare anybody to Eve. Get this. He had nobody to look to and say, don't you want to be like this professional basketball player? Don't you want to drive this car? Look at this. It's a Lamborghini. Don't you want to drive this Rolls Royce? Oh, it's nice. Beautiful. I wouldn't mind driving one now. Don't you want to do these things? He said, don't you want to be like who? Wow, think about that. Satan is good enough to use something good perfect. He used something perfect. You know what he did? He turned it. Who are you? Don't be worldly. Don't be worldly. Some things we must do. We must, and if we're going to hear God call us, we must read our Bibles and pray. Amen. We must read our Bibles and pray. Amen. We must read our Bibles and pray. Why do we need that? Because we need a relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's your food. Some of you, your stomachs are already growling. Because you know that this guy up here needs to hurry up and sit down so you could go down to the lunchroom and eat. You say, why? Because you want some food. But what about this morning? What about this morning? How much did you eat this morning? How much did you eat yesterday? Spiritually. Why doesn't any of this sound good, these testimonies? Because you're not walking close to Jesus. I'll tell you what, it's sweet to walk with Jesus. And it gets sweeter every day. We must be obedient. Turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter number 2, I believe it is. 1 Samuel, chapter number 2. We must be obedient. The Lord called Samuel, verse number 4. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Verse number 5, and he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I." The Lord called yet again unto Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I." Verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I." Now, God called them these three times. You know what Samuel did? Samuel got up and said, "Lord, here I am." Right? He got up. He didn't know it was the Lord calling him at first. He didn't know it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli. But you know what was in him? Obedience. Obedience. Obey. You want to hear God call you one day? Learn to obey. Stop thinking you got to do things, everything has to be done your way. That's not right. We've got to be in a position and a place in our lives where when someone tells us something to do, we're going to do it. Obey. That's the key to a righteous life. We must be obedient. Number 3, we must be right. I think all of you would say with me, the reason why God continued to call Samuel is because Samuel was in a position to be called. Are you with me? I believe Samuel was in a position to be called, and that's why God called him three times. You see, it must not have been in Samuel's heart to not answer correctly. There was something in him that when he heard a voice, he immediately responded. And you know what? He responded in the right way. He responded in the right way. Kids, learn to respond in the right way. So Sometimes when we're talked to, I know you girls don't have boxing gloves, but you boys put on the boxing gloves. I'm ready for you. Girls might have claws. I'm ready for you. Learn to respond the right way. Want to be right. No matter what, you know what? I'm going to be right. Samuel was called because I believe he was right. God saw a young man that wanted to please him. So he called him. He got up. He didn't know what was going on. He got up again. He didn't know what was going on. He got up again, and he didn't know what was going on. And he listened to Eli and said, when he calls again, say, speak, Lord. You know what happened? When God called again, guess what he said? I don't have time. Not me, Lord. Somebody else. Not me. I don't have. You know what he said when he called the fourth time? Speak, Lord. Because he was right. How many of us are right? You want to hear God call you and say, here am I? The last point is this. Have a soft heart. Have a soft heart. You know, you can tell a person with a soft heart. You can't hide it. You cannot hide it. A person with a soft heart has a heart like Joseph that says this, how can I sin against God? A person with a soft heart, when they sin, they are going to get it right. They are going to get it right. Some point in time in the day, they're not going to wait till tomorrow. A person with a soft heart is going to get that right today. They're going to find a closet. They're going to get on their hands and knees, and they're going to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry I displeased you. I know you're not happy with me today. God, I'm sorry. Watch him come out of that closet. You think they're going to come out of the closet? Hey, everybody, look at me. I got right with Jesus today. I got right with God. Yep, I got right with God. They're going to come out of that closet. Ma'am, I'm sorry. I wronged you. Mr. So-and-so, I didn't take care of my responsibility, and I'm sorry. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. You can't hide. A person with a soft heart can't hide. Because when they come out of that closet, they're getting things right. Because God told them to. You see, when they're in that closet, God said, you go see this person. You know what they're going to do? They can't wait to get up off their hands and knees and go see that person. You know why? Because how can I sin against God? How can I do it? I can't do it. I cannot sin against God. I'm going to go make it right. I'm not going to be proudful. I'm going to swallow every bit of it. And it hurts. But I'm going to go make it right. Some of us are just too good. You don't have a soft heart. You haven't been with Jesus. See, that's how Isaiah got it. He was with Jesus. Some of us just don't have time. The phrase that pays for some of us when you don't take care of one of your responsibilities is, "I'm sorry. Did you have your stuff? No, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Bye-bye." Oh, man. I said, "I'm sorry." And you know, he has to forgive me. Because the Bible says like 500 times 500. So he has to forgive me. Man, I'm done with that. Your bus captain is ready to ring you. But you said you're sorry. But let that same person that has a soft heart, let that same person that has a soft heart approach a person that they've wronged. They may get on you. But when you walk away, what goes through our heads, what goes through the head is this: they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. But some of us won't bring ourselves to grip with that. Some of us won't bring ourselves to grip with, "I am wrong. I've sinned against God." We won't be in a place where we say, "Lord, here am I," until we get that straight. Boy, we want some kids to say that one day. There are some parents that want their kids to say that. Some kids in here that grew up on a rough side of the tracks. And people are saying, "Man, I don't think they'll ever make it." Let them get right. Let them get right. Look at that girl. Boy, she was a bus kid and she had it rough. And she went off to Bible college. And look, man, God gave her a good husband. Now they're serving God. Look at that. Here am I. Here am I. Will that be you one day? Will that be you? Will you be the one, when God calls, who will go for us? "Here I am. Here am I."